You can tell I'm old. Acts 4:32 through 37. The community of believers was of one mind and one heart. None of them claimed anything as their own. Rather, everything was held in common. The apostles continued to testify with great power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were all given respect. Nor was anyone needy among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them and give the money to the apostles. It was then distributed to any members who might be in need. There was a certain Levite from Cyprus named Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means encourager. He sold a farm that he owned and made a donation of the money, presenting it to the apostles. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 11. There is a variety of gifts, but always the same Spirit. Here is a variety of ministries, but we serve the same one. There is a variety of outcomes, but the same God is working in all of them. To each person is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one, the Spirit gives wisdom and discourse. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Through the Spirit, one person receives faith. Through the same Spirit, another is given the gift of healing, and still another, miraculous powers. Prophecy is given to one, to another, power to distinguish from one spirit from another. One receives the gift of tongues, another that of interpreting tongues. But it is one and the same Spirit who produces all these gifts and distributes them as she will. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 11. Keep this in mind. If you plant sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And if you plant bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You must give according to what you have inwardly decided. Not sadly, not reluctantly, for God loves a giver who gives cheerfully. There are no limits to the grace of God, who will make sure you will always have enough of everything and even a surplus for good works. As Scripture says, God scattered abroad and gave to poor people. God's justice endures forever. The one who provides seed for the planter and bread for food will also supply and enlarge your store of seed and increase your harvest of justice. You will be made rich in every way for your generosity, for which we give thanks to God.
Kind of scatterbrained today. I have a sermon and I'm going to preach it, but so I woke up this morning and I looked up the Facebook profile of Heather Hayers, who is that 32-year-old woman who was killed in an act of terrorism yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia. And her cover photo, which you can see anybody's cover photo, it's public to the world, says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. So that's why she was there. I think many of us today feel outraged and lost and overwhelmed and needing comfort and scared and many, many things. And that's why we come here. And I'm so grateful to all of you for being this place. So thank you. Thank you all. We are focusing on being the church because we have to be, and we are an awesome church, I have to say. I'm so grateful for this place and all the ways that we are learning and recentering ourselves to be the church, and our theme today is still so very important about sharing earthly and spiritual resources because that is what keeps this place going. So probably many of you have seen I have officiated several memorial services in the past few months, some for folks who are not even members of our churches. And each and every time I have been amazed by how our communities have rallied to share our resources, earthly or material resources like casseroles for the grieving family, monies to purchase a beautiful vase of funeral flowers for one who otherwise would have had a bare altar during his memorial service. The resources of time and skills, like preparing a PowerPoint slideshow of photos to play during a funeral, organizing a luncheon to feed the grieving. The spiritual resources of one's presence and love and listening, making sure someone is on site around the clock and watching vigil so that the family can take a break. Many of us live our lives in denial of death, treating it as a scary enemy to be feared and ignored at all costs. But when you greet it so often in your life or in your community's life, you begin to realize that death is going to happen. It is an inevitable part of the life cycle. And you see that no one can take their resources with them when they go. There's no trailer hitches on hearses. You can't carry it with you beyond the grave. So it's better to utilize what you have while you have it, and even better if you can steward your resources in order to bring justice and peace and joy and happiness and health and freedom to those around you. Dana and I are currently in the process of writing our own will, and we are including the church as a recipient of our financial and material resources when the time comes. I've been approached by others in this congregation wanting to know the process for leaving their house or property to the church when they die. Some may not have much to give during their life, but they're doing their best to give what they can at the time of their death. The account from the earliest Christian community in Acts chapter 4 is admirable. According to the story that Ginger read, no one claimed anything as their own, but shared everything within community. They'd sell their houses and property and pool their resources and then distribute it to whomever was in need at the time. We hear of a man named Joseph, who earned a nickname Barnabas, which means encourager. We're not told all the ways that he earned his nickname, but selling his farm and giving the profits to the community was one way that he provided encouragement to those in need, including himself. This reminds me of the living arrangements and monasteries and convents. Unfortunately, these large-scale religious households are dying out in many areas due to less and less people entering that lifestyle. But they are good models of communities of people who keep little for themselves but pool their incomes to provide care for all who come to live among them. Just this week, I sorted through some old surveys that were filled out by the membership of this church. They were time and talent surveys. When a member joins this church, they promise to participate in worship regularly and to contribute, both financially and with their prayers, time, and talents to the mission of the church. These gifts are the fuel on which the church runs. Without it, the fire and mission would dwindle and go out. Among those time and talent surveys, I saw that people had lent their time and talents to serving communion, providing special music, reading during worship, teaching Sunday school or adult education, calling and writing letters to those who are under the weather, cooking and bringing food, mowing the lawn, watering the plants, volunteering in the food pantry, helping out with our website and our sound system and the PowerPoint, counting money, making deposits, folding bulletins, spending time with our children and youth, hosting small groups or special events from your own home or here at church, providing mediation and counseling, and many other extremely valuable ways of sharing earthly and spiritual resources. 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us There is a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is a variety of ministries, but we serve the same one. It is one and the same Spirit who produces all these gifts and distributes them as she wills. Because we're part of a larger faith family, not only are we able to share our personal gifts to be the church in this time and in this place, but we are able to share our collective earthly and spiritual resources with the wider community. Over the years, wherever we have called home has been a safe space and a home to other communities and events that the wider culture had not, in many cases, accepted or made space for. But when you have pooled your resources to secure a gathering space, the benefit is that you get to share that space with others who represent your values. Over the years, this building has been a safe space for the Homosexuality and Scripture Conference, when we were told we would be surrounded by the KKK, who had secured a permit to protest us. This space has been a safe place for 12-step groups like AA and NA and SA, and I've been in contact with a man who wants to start an LGBT-friendly NA group here on site. We've been a home to Amnesty International for over 11 years, to Black Lives Matter Oklahoma City, to other LGBT-inclusive Christian congregations, and there are so few here in Oklahoma City. We are also the home of Cathedral of Hope and Holy Spirit Orthodox Church. We've been a home to LGBT-friendly counseling offices that are also few and far between, social justice, documentary, and movie screenings, dream work interpretation classes, the Friday food pantry, weddings and funerals that were not allowed in other churches, the Miss Wheelchair Oklahoma pageant, numerous social justice press conferences, peace camp for teens, PFLAG, HIV/AIDS support groups, a youth homeless shelter that will begin to provide overnight service starting tonight. Spanish language classes, animal blessings, trans support groups, Vegetarians of Oklahoma, Veterans for Peace, civic engagement organizations. Can you believe it? Currently, there are now two open offices in our basement that we're hoping to lease out for below market rates in order to support additional services that extend the ministry and mission of our communities here in this location. The church community has served as a resource during times of civil unrest, injustice, violence, or tragedy. Community gathered together at church after 9/11 to be together. Gathered here in this building for shelter during tornado warnings. In vigil following the Orlando Pulse shooting. And after the most recent presidential election, in order to serve as a place of safety and solace and healing. Did you know that there are people who don't even go to this church, but because of the mission and outreach that we provide, they send their tithing checks here to fan the flames of the passionate ministry that we provide to the wider community? If we were only serving ourselves and focused inward, that would not happen. But because we are focused outwards, people know they can participate in a variety of ways, even if they can't be here physically. Recently, I was approached by a woman from a financial planning company, one that is LGBT-friendly, and she wanted to provide free money management workshops to our churches. I went through all of her PowerPoint slides and looked at them one by one, and then Dana and I met with her one-on-one about our own finances. And my goal was to see what the benefit of her free services would be to our church members and friends. I wanted to try it out first to see if I trusted it. So many people think that they don't have much money, so they can't benefit from financial planning. But I found her information to be invaluable. And it's helping us to make the most of what we do have so that we can utilize our earthly resources to be in line with our professed values. So I do want to encourage all of us to attend these upcoming financial planning workshops. There are some flyers in the lobby about that. And they're only 1 hour long, from 5 to 6, and I placed them right before game night that I heard 16 people showed up for last night, which is awesome, and right before open mic night, so we can come and we can be the church together and make an evening out of it. One of our church readings for today is the second letter to the Corinthians by Paul, probably written in the autumn of 57 AD. During the previous year, Titus, who was a missionary church leader and disciple of Paul, had started a collection among the Christians in Corinth for the Christians living in Jerusalem. Paul sent Titus and representatives of their churches to Corinth to carry his letter, which has now become part of our Bible, and to complete the collection. He suggests that the best way the Corinthian Christians can give proof of their love for the arriving delegates is to have the collection ready. They understand why the money is needed, and Paul wishes for it to be a freely given gift or a blessing rather than an extortion or something that's grudgingly given. He uses the metaphor of agriculture, saying if you plant sparingly, you will reap sparingly, and if you plant bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You must give according to what you have inwardly decided. Not sadly, not reluctantly, for God loves a cheerful giver. This echoes the same sentiment given by the Buddha's teachings about the three kinds of giving. Church garage sales are sometimes, but not always, the recipients of beggarly giving. When we give the least of what we have, what we don't really need, what we would never miss, and what we might have otherwise thrown out. The next level of giving is known as friendly giving. I think and would hope that most of us give more on this level than from beggarly giving. Friendly giving is when we give what we use and like. Not our very best, but what we can afford and might appreciate having as a gift ourselves. But the Apostle Paul urges the Corinthian Christians to be more than friendly givers, to be kingly givers. Kingly giving is when we give the very best of our earthly and spiritual resources, when we give more than what we keep for ourselves with no expectation of reciprocity. This type of generosity far exceeds the satisfaction of hoarding or displaying wealth and produces a cheerful giver. Each year we set aside a time to pray about and listen for ways that God is calling us to allocate our earthly and spiritual resources. This fall, in the month of October, we will enter this prayerful time known as our stewardship season, the one time a year when we make promises known as pledges for what we plan and hope to give to the ministry of our church in the following year. It is my wish and prayer that the fire and passion of our ministries will be able to grow and build, serving more and more of our community in meaningful and life-giving ways. There are so many ways we are learning to be the church, but almost none of them can happen if this foundational value does not occur first and foremost. Everyone has something to share. So may we continue to be the church by sharing our earthly and spiritual resources. May it be so. Amen.